Dr. Silberman, there was a campaign of sorts to brace parents about Kentucky's adopting national Common Core standards and what impact these new standards could have on test scores. The goal of the standards is to better prepare students for college. To begin our conversation, I'd like you to tell me what has been the result of Kentucky testing based on Common Core standards.
Starting out, you know, we had to go to a new accountability system as the new standards came online. And basically, this was all prompted by Senate Bill 1, which passed in 2009. That law said we needed to have new, more rigorous standards. So that's where they came in. So Kentucky was the first state to adopt the standards and the first state to implement them in our classroom. So we've been a pioneer in that effort. In addition to adopting the standards, we were the first state to also have an assessment done on the standards. So that was done last year. The results that came back in were lower than what we were normally looking at. And there were a couple of reasons for that. First of all, we went from a system where the top score was 140 to a system where the top score was 100. So if we didn't do anything else at all, just that one change, the scores were going to be lower. But if you combine that with, you know, more rigorous standards in our classrooms, then the expectations were that it was going to take a little bit of time to get, you know, up to speed on the standards. So the scores did come back in lower, but we did anticipate that at the same time.
The Wall Street Journal of May 1st featured an article by Stephanie Banchero reporting opposition to Common Core standards growing across the country. She says there's a group of critics pressing officials to slow implementation or dump the learning goals entirely. Are Kentucky officials beginning to get this kind of, quote, backlash, quote, as she called it?
We had done, you know, a lot of work. The Pritchard Committee, State Chamber of Commerce, the Kentucky Department of Education, to prepare our citizens for the Common Core. In a lot of places, that work wasn't done. The speed of our implementation process, you know, I wish it could have been slower, but the reality is that we did have a new law on the books that we needed to implement. So the timing was right to adopt these standards and move forward with them because we had to adopt new standards anyway. So the timing was very good. I think that when you really look and dig down into the standards, and by the way, our Pritchard Committee blog, we've been running a series for people to be able to dig in and really look at the standards. What you'll find is, number one, they are internationally benchmarked. So our kids are now competing with standards on the same playing field as their international peers. And the importance around that is to ensure that we're preparing kids to be competitive when they come out into the job market. And as cliche as it may sound, it is a global competition right now. So I think that that is an important piece. And to maybe slow down that implementation a little bit could have been somewhat helpful, but the reality of it is that we do now have them in place. And we're moving forward, and there are also some benefits to doing it that way. Different states are at different places with the adoption and implementation. I think for Kentucky, you know, we are now moving at a good pace.
Ms. Banchero's article said that opposition to Common Core standards that she's seeing comes from a variety of points of view. And she listed worry over the cost of implementing the standards, worry over their intrusion into local education decisions, worry over plans to tie teacher evaluations to student performance on Common Core standard exams, and worry that children are not sufficiently prepared for Common Core tests. In Kentucky, have any of these concerns surfaced in opposition to the standards?
Yeah, let's go back. Can we take them one at a time, Kate?
Sure.
Yeah, if we can go, what was the first one?
the cost of implementing the standards?
Well, if you think about it for a minute, we're going to have standards in our state. And when the reality of this is that in the long run, it should eventually save dollars, because right now, particularly with standards being so different from state to state in the past, the testing companies were the ones that were really making a lot of money off of that. So hopefully, when there is more consistency out there, then some of those costs should go down. There's going to be a cost involved, whether they're Common Core standards, Quality Core, no matter what it is that is being implemented, there's going to be some kind of a cost. So I say that when you have good, rigorous, internationally benchmarked standards, then we're getting a better bang for our buck.
The second worry was about Common Core standards intruding into local education decision-making.
One of the great things in Kentucky is that we have site-based councils. And when it comes down to curriculum in our schools, the site-based councils, which are made up of parents and teachers and administrators, are the ones who are charged with the decisions about curriculum. Now, having a high bar and a rigorous set of standards for all of our schools in Kentucky, I see that as a good thing. But I also see the need to continue to have that strong input at the local level.
How do you reconcile the two?
There's a difference between standards and curriculum. You know, having the standards in place at a high rigorous level, again, internationally benchmarked, doesn't dictate how teachers should teach or how students should learn. That decision's left, you know, up to those local site-based councils. So I think there's somewhat of a misnomer that the standards are the curriculum, and that's not really correct. The local teachers, principals, school boards, site-based councils are the ones who make the decisions about the curriculum. Now, I think we all want to make sure that whatever curriculum we do have in place in our schools is preparing our kids to be able to be college and career ready and competitive when they come out. So I really think that there can be a congruency there, but the decision-making portion of it is still left up to the local school boards and site-based councils and individual school districts.
Thank you. The next worry she mentioned in her article, Ms. Banchero, was a worry over plans to tie teacher evaluations to student performance on Common Core standard exams.
In Kentucky, that's not anything really new to us in terms of the it being accountability. Early on with the implementation of CARA, we had, you know, rewards and sanctions set up for our schools based on, you know, how the schools were performing. This is a little bit different in that the state is working on a new evaluation system that will include, it's at least the discussions are to include student growth as part of that evaluation of the teacher. I personally think that the weights for that growth portion of a teacher's evaluation need to be phased in to allow us to have more time to, you know, get used to the system. But at the same time, I do think that, as with, you know, anything that we do, that we're responsible for, we're also accountable. And so I think that when a student is with a teacher, that class of students, if you're looking at an elementary school, which is the easiest place to look at it because the kids are with that teacher for the most part for the day, you would hope that the students made at least a year's growth if they were going to be spending that time with the teacher for that year. So the evaluation portion of that, I think, is something that needs to be included. You start to run into problems with the evaluation systems in areas that are not included in the testing. And states that are ahead of us on the evaluation systems have really struggled with the fact of how do we include the teachers who are not part of the assessment system, in as in part of the having the growth as part of their evaluation. And one of the things that the steering committee in Kentucky is looking at are SMART goals, where we're looking at the possibility of each teacher setting goals and then coming back to measure how the growth is based on the goals that are set there. I think there's still a lot of movement that will take place with the evaluation systems as they relate to student growth. But, you know, as a parent, I want to know that when my child or grandchild is going to be spending time with a teacher, that there's going to be growth that's taking place with that teacher. And I think you, if you talk to teachers, they'll tell you that they want the same thing. And so I think that part of how a teacher's doing in terms of accountability, we have to look at how the students are doing under that teacher's guidance.
And finally, the worry she cited in the article was that kids are not sufficiently prepared for the Common Core tests.
Well, again, we're at the in Kentucky, we're in the early stages, and in some of the states it's even earlier than we are, but you know, that's the, what the whole goal is to make sure that our kids are college and career ready when they finish. And by having higher standards that are internationally benchmarked, there's going to be, you know, the rigor and a bar there that is set to where our kids are going to be ready when they come out. I think that the worry needs to be more about whether kids are prepared rather than, I mean, for college and career readiness piece of it, rather than worrying about whether or not they're prepared for the test. And by having the Common Core there, we're setting a high bar. My experiences over the years have been that, for the most part, when you set a high bar for kids, they will adjust and rise to that level.
Now I'm going to step away from Common Core standards and wind up with a couple of questions for you. Dr. Silberman, what's the most worrisome thing in Kentucky at the moment in your field of education?
I think that right now, even what we've just talked about, the expectations that are out there right now are extremely high, and lots of the supports that we had in place as CARA came into play have now been eroded away. So the funding portion of making sure that we have supports in place to help our teachers and kids move forward is a serious concern and worry for me. Things like extended school services and professional development for our teachers and textbooks and classroom supplies have to be in place if we're going to be able to move forward. So I worry about the lack of funding that we're experiencing in Kentucky right now. That's my biggest worry.
And we'll wind up with, what's the most exciting thing going on in Kentucky education today from your perspective?
Well, I think that what's very, very exciting to me is that there is a focus on high standards and preparing kids for the global competition that they're going to be facing. It's not something that is just going to happen overnight or that's going to be really easy. It's going to be a process. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the bill that Carl Rollins sponsored, the Districts of Innovation bill. I think we're going to see some great things coming out of that, where districts are going to step up and we're going to see some new innovative type reform efforts coming down the pike. You know, there's lots of things that I believe can happen that we may see sooner than later with that bill. So I think that's a very exciting thing happening in Kentucky right now. You know, ultimately, the bottom line on all of this is what happens to kids. And I believe that our educators, I just have to commend them for stepping up in a time of increased expectation and increased change, that, you know, our teachers and administrators have really stepped up to the plate and have continued to push and push hard to do what's right for kids.